Weekend Drive is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds, the industry leader in automotive technology. To find out more, visit reyrey.com. That's R-E-Y-R-E-Y.com.
Welcome into Weekend Drive for this Saturday. Great to have you along with us again. Great to have Mike Martinez as well. And wonderful to have Rick Johnson, the print editor of Automotive News, joining us on set. Happy Saturday to you, Rick.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that.
Rick has been holed up for the last number of months, creating a wonderful four-part series called Ingenuity Unleashed, all about the dealership stories of survival that happened about 10 years ago now. Yeah. Right, Rick? And the wording of the introduction, for those who haven't seen it over the last 3 weeks, has just been beautiful. Shaped, hardened by the economic trauma of 10 years ago, a generation of dealers reinvented auto retailing in the United States. And these are really profiles of dealers who gutted it out, right, Rick, during those tough times. And I want to go back to a phone call that was 10 years ago that kind of led this whole series off. Right after September 15th of 2008, the story of Charlie Brown, used car manager at Chrysler Dodge Jeep of Eugene, Oregon. What happened with Charlie?
Well, Charlie, he needed used cars, and he was trying to get a hold of the bank, which was Chrysler Financial, and he called him, and he kept trying to call him. He finally got a number, and the phone rang off the hook, and finally someone answered the phone and said, "This is the custodian. We're closed here. We got nothing going on." So that sort of symbolized what was taking place at that time.
September 15th, of course, 2008 was the Lehman collapse and the largest Chapter 11 filing to date in U.S. history. These are stories around innovation. And really the Great Recession was an innovation lab.
That's what it turned out to be. Dealers are entrepreneurs and they have a skill set. And when you get into a situation like we had in 2008 and 2009, all those skills came to the fore and it really magnified the basic abilities that they have. So it was all about innovation and sort of getting through the crisis.
Rick, I'm curious how this came together. We've done a number of special series over the years, and I believe the fourth part is coming out on Monday.
That's right.
Just walk us through how these stories started to come together, how we were able to get the series going.
Well, it started at the Automotive News All-Star Dinner last December, right next to a very prominent dealer in the country who started talking unsolicited about his own survival story. And I thought, boy, I bet there's, thousands or 17,000 of these stories around the country. So we decided that this is the way we would not commemorate but observe the 10th anniversary of the Great Crisis from an uplifting point of view, rather than just, everything was bad and three companies went bankrupt, two companies went bankrupt. Let's talk about the good things that happened at that period of time. So we actually called every state dealer association in the country to get ideas to unearth these stories, and that's how we came up with them.
2008, NADA Chairman Annette Sikora talked about this being the perfect storm for the industry and how the innovations that came out of this were really born out of desperation to some extent. You had folks like Ernie Bach spending more money on advertising when everybody else was pulling back on advertising. Great innovative pieces of business. What are some of your favorites?
Well, every dealer has a different situation. Every dealer had a different set of problems and every dealer had a different set of solutions. There were some basic things that everyone did. I mean, they all optimized their service department. They all increased their used car business and they got into CRM in a big way. But everyone had different solutions. I mean, some of them were buying inventory and some of them were getting rid of inventory. Some couldn't get rid of inventory fast enough. Others couldn't buy it fast enough. So those are my favorites. The guys who leaned into the recession, who saw opportunity, they said, well, wait a minute, we're going to come out of this in a few months. Let's load up with the vehicles that we can get because other dealers were selling. And let's really make this an opportunity for
us.
There's
like that car wash in Ohio.
Car wash.
Massive car wash.
There were small things like, suddenly, coffee machines and vending machines became profit centers at some dealerships. So, I mean, there's just big things and little things.
Is it time to reevaluate your automotive technology needs? Listen to Brad Sperber, dealer principal, and Ron Vartanian, General Manager of Manhattan Beach Toyota, talk about why they partnered with Reynolds & Reynolds.
My philosophy is when you're green, you're growing. When you're ripe, you're rotten. So we're always looking for better tools to help our business.
Customer service has become such an important priority in today's day and age. We have to be on the cutting edge of all technology. Reynolds fits in our overall vision of our dealership by giving us one tool that sales, service, parts, finance, the business office, everybody could use, everybody understands. Compared to all the other vendors and products out there, it's just a very easy and efficient product and makes it very easy to run your business.
It's been fantastic. It's a new way of selling. We saw a return on investment from day one. The first month we saw almost $40,000 in gross profit. You can just see it pays for itself.
For more information about why you should consider switching to Reynolds & Reynolds, visit rayray.com/yreynolds. Once again, that's rayray.com/yreynolds.
So we're 10 years out, and I know a lot of folks are predicting maybe the next downturn on its way. Where do you think the dealer body as a whole stands today? Have they learned their lessons? Would they be in better shape for the next downturn?
Yeah, I think it's a conservative generation of dealers who, you know, you're talking about the dealers who sort of were formed by this crisis. These are dealers, a lot of young dealers and a lot of young store managers, general managers, sales managers, and so on, who sort of cut their teeth at the time of this crisis. So they will always have this in their you know, DNA, and it's like a virus; it never leaves you. And just like a lot of dealers who had been through the two crises in the 1980s, used that experience to get through the last one. So I think you've got a much more conservative group of dealers, and I think you'll see that in the way they keep costs under control and things like that.
Profiles of dealers who really gutted this out. We've got one more chapter to go, which is Monday. Tell us what folks are going to see on Monday.
Well, what we're looking at, and we've talked about the small dealers and the mid-sized dealers and the large private groups in the first three installments. We're going to talk about the publics in the next issue coming Monday and how they got through. And they had a different set of problems. I mean, basically it was the same. They had to get their costs under control. But from that perspective, those stores or those companies had much different problems than small dealers.
Perfect segue to a story that this week was obviously big on our radar when it came to the public dealership groups. And Mike Jackson, there's going to be a successor as president and CEO of AutoNation. It's been a historic run for Mike. When he first joined the company, AutoNation was a completely different entity than it is now. One of the interesting stats in the 20 years as CEO, he's generated a total shareholder return of about 340%.
Not bad.
Not a bad 20-year run. Bad. What are your recollections or thoughts about Mike Jackson?
Well, I'm so focused these days on, you know, 10 years ago. And really it was Mike Jackson who was kind of leading the way in terms of like talking the industry back up. He was the one who said, okay, the cool thing about this is that we're getting away from a demand pull type of situation. Which is what the industry did get away from in 2008, 2009. It's held. I mean, there's some variation, but that's held. And that was Mike Jackson talking about that. And AutoNation and the other publics, for that matter, they had a bad fourth quarter 2008 and a bad first quarter 2009. But by and large, within 9 months, they were all back on their feet. They had figured out, here's how we survive in a 10 million unit market as opposed to a 17 million unit market. And I think Jackson was kind of on the leading edge of that kind of thinking.
And I also think, though, that even though there's going to be a new CEO, he's going to retain his executive chairman role. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's going to still be around. And, Jason, I know you have a very long list of accomplishments for Mike.
But they were supplied to us, right? Multiple pages.
There's one more on there. He does have one appearance on Weekend Drive.
Oh, that's right. And we were all in tuxedos at the time.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, Mike Jackson. And I think when you talk about Mike Jackson and the Hall of Fame, there's probably nobody who could be more deserving of that honor than Mike Jackson. Where does AutoNation go from here?
I think they only go up. I mean, again, to think backwards for a second, I mean, the thing about 2008, 2009 is that it proved that the public dealership format, which started in the 1990s, as we all know, could survive and could manage its way through a crisis. So I don't think you're going to see these types of companies go away, and you might see more of them in the future.
Wonderful. Well, they're all enlightening stories, not only Mike Jackson's story of where he goes from here, but also where many of these dealer profiles, as highlighted by Rick and the team for the past 3 weeks, now going into week four on Monday, that you'll see in the pages of Automotive News. Rick, thanks so much for being on Weekend Drive.
Thank you.
And thanks for the stories of really inspiration for everyone. For Mike, for Rick, I'm Jason, and we'll see you next Saturday right here.